When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Good morning. Welcome in. Paul Santos filling in for Tim Meisberg. He was out yesterday and today. He will be returning. He shall return bright and early Monday morning. But again, it's Paul Santos filling in. If you'd like to jump in on our discussion, we welcome that. Whether you agree with anything I've said, disagree with what I've said, agree with the previous callers, disagree with the previous callers, give us a call and let us know what's on your mind at 508-996-0500. Quick reminder, the Patriots wrap up the season this Sunday night right here on WBSM. Who will make the final cut? Things will become a lot clearer after the Patriots visit the Commanders in Washington Sunday night. Kickoff is at 8 p.m. Pregame begins at 5 p.m. Listen to the entire finals and then the entire 2024 season right here on 1420 a.m. and 99.5 FM WBSM. Let's go right back to the phones while we can and say good morning. You are next on WBSM.
Hey, good morning.
Hi.
So I've got a home here in New Bedford, and I've got a property value increase of about $100,000. Mm-hmm. So under the plan that Kamala Harris supports to push the capital gains tax to 44%, and then they've pushing for unrealized tax on the capital gains of 25%, I would be obligated to write a check for $25,000 on a home that I haven't even sold.
Mm-hmm.
And that would break me.
Yeah, I don't know the details of that particular plan you're talking about, but I'm against that kind of stuff. I do think
it's
though
available.
Yeah, but I do think that the top 1%, you know, the billionaires and the trillionaires paying 8% when you and I are paying, like you said, 15 or 20%. You know, that's terrible too. You know,
they're paying 8% of a really large number, but
so what?
That's what I'm saying, Mike. So this is my concern.
Yeah, okay.
My concern is even if I couldn't afford the $25,000 tax, which is real, even if I sold my home to try to cover that, let's say I can't do it and I have to get out and I sell my house. Now I'm faced with a 44% capital gains tax on that $100,000. I'm leaving my house and with nothing.
Okay, so there might be, you know, some negotiation in Congress about, wait a minute, there should be an exception for, like, you know, a home that you owned, or maybe you're not an investor. But even still, if you're an investor, you should be able to, you know, gain from what you did.
Investing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean,
but like I said,
capital people, for free.
People at the tippity top are really sticking it to the people in the middle, though, you know?
I don't know. The tippity top seems to be getting lower and lower.
The tippity top is getting bigger and bigger all the time.
Yeah.
All right, I got to move on. I got calls all lined up. I really appreciate the call. Thank you very much. Okay, let's say good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Mr. Santos.
How are you?
I'm very good.
I must have hit a nerve because I got a whole bunch of calls coming in all of a sudden. That's what they want me to do. They want me to be controversial, so here we go.
I really don't disagree with any of the callers, regardless of you know, which way they've went, because I think that's, you know, what's really going on in this country. We're divided, and there's a lot of truth on both sides.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
But one of the things I wanted to say is I don't understand why people don't come out and criticize. I know we talked a little bit about, you know, accepting the results of the election.
Yes.
I'm an independent, so, but I really don't understand how Sheriff Hodgson can go to the City Hall in Taunton ask for the voter registration information relative to the hotel and where the illegal immigrants are staying. Mm-hmm. And 27 people with that address are now registered to vote. And then we have people criticize folks for saying, how can, will you accept the results of the election? I wish someone would come out and say no. I mean, let's tell the truth.
Well,
here.
You know, the thing is, you got a guy, you lost by 8 million votes, if you want to, talk about the...
I get that.
He filed all these lawsuits. I mean, if you file, like, one lawsuit and lose, you go, okay. You file three lawsuits and you lose, you go, okay. But then you file 6, 7, 8, 10, 12, yeah. 20, 30, 64 yeah. lawsuits until his own, attorney general, like, what are you doing? You lost. Will you just admit it? I mean, if somebody can't admit that they lost, like, if you're a sports guy, you play tennis against that guy and the ball's 2 feet out and the guy says it's in because he can't admit that he's losing. We all know that guy,
I just I don't understand how we're almost a third world country when it comes with all the technology and mm-hmm. the education and everything that we have going for us in this country. We can't come up with a voting system. We can't even agree on whether you need an ID, which is another thing to me.
I think Congress should get together because what the problem is, and I was discussing this with one of my conservative friends, both sides want to win so badly that they'll do anything to win. You know what I mean? And so if it helps the Democrats to, be a little sloppy on the registration, they'll do it. If it turns out that the Republicans want to have, the African-American community, there's a 2-hour, 3-hour wait to vote, because that helps them, they'll do that. You know what I mean? Because you ever see the videos of the people waiting in line to vote? And I'm thinking, I've never waited more than 2 minutes to vote. How come these people are waiting 2-3 hours?
Yeah, we live in a certain part of the country where nobody votes.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say no one, but the percentage is way down.
I was just going to say, I think I recognize your voice.
You do, and I was going to end, but a couple of things. One is,
it took me a few minutes.
It's kind of a shame that we have, this is the best the United States can come up with, these two candidates, deplorable. It's because the jobs stink so bad that people who are qualified to do it don't want to run, with social media and everything that may be in their past. But anyway, I did want to remind you, Paul, that way back in the spring, I did say that the Red Sox would not make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And I brought up pitching and defense. And I'll tell you, I may have to call back and say I was wrong.
Well, we'll see. At least you didn't make a guarantee.
That's a true story.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right.
Hey, that's a great caller and a really great guy. 508-996-0500. Remember, give me a call if you disagree with me or you agree with me or maybe you agree or disagree with the other callers. I do think that, being able to disagree civilly and not say, I think I heard a caller say, yeah, Democrats are intellectually dishonest. Don't call me up and say I'm dishonest. If you want to call me up and say, hey, Santos, I disagree with you, and here's the reason. I'm supporting this candidate for this reason, right? And then we can go back and forth. Hey, what about this? What about that? What do you think about this? What do you think about that? I was in this bookstore the other day, and there's a book there, and it says something like, the Democrat Party hates America. Really? First of all, you're mispronouncing Democrat. I don't know why you can't say the Democratic Party. You have to say the Democrat Party. So then I was thinking, where did that start? People have been saying the Democratic Party for 100 years. Yeah, I know. One day Trump was up there. He's like, the Democrat Party. So now everybody's going to say the Democrat Party when it's a Democratic Party, really, it's to that point where whatever this guy says, you're going to say it. The name of the party is the Democratic Party. If you're a part of the Democratic Party, you are a Democrat. It's very simple. Very simple. And by the way, the lady's name is Kamala, okay? Very simple, right? So, and by the way, George Stephanopoulos is a respected journalist. You like him, you don't like him, whatever, but his name isn't Stephanopoulos. Can we just stop that? For God's sakes. All right, let's see. Who's next on the agenda here? Let me see. I'm going to put this one on hold and say, good morning. You're on WBSM.
Am I on?
Yes, you are.
I'm going to give away my age a little bit.
Okay.
My first car was a 1947 Studebaker convertible.
Oh, my God, a Studebaker. Wow.
Yeah, a Studebaker convertible, manual shift.
What year was that again, 48?
1947.
Holy crap.
So I'm an oldie but a goodie.
All right, that's a good one. I love that one. All right, thank you very much for the call. All right. We like to have those light topics in between, you know, because I think the light topics are fun. Some people say, well, you know, you get into a debate back and forth. Yeah, that's true. That can be fun, having debates, but, you know, having the light topic too. So the light topic is, what was the first car that you ever drove? Me, it was a 1968 Buick Wildcat. We had somebody talk about a Pontiac Catalina. What a tank that thing was. Now you go back, 47 Studebaker. We had a call a Datsun. That was a small car. But those big cars, those Buicks, those Oldsmobiles, those big Chryslers, those Plymouths, those things were a tank. Those things were huge. And my car, that 1968 Buick Wildcat, 7.5 miles to the gallon. I'm not kidding. 7 miles to the gallon. And it was leaking oil. So it was 7 miles to the gallon and 7 miles to the oil tank. So that's the way it was back in the days gone by. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Morning, Paul. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. My first car that I drove was an 85 Buick Riviera.
1985 Buick Riviera. Wow.
That thing was a bus. It was huge. That's when I learned to drive, and they said, my babu said, hey, parallel park in between these two cars. And I had like 2 inches on both sides.
I remember that Buick Riviera. That was a really sharp-looking car.
It was a great car. It was a velvet interior, too, on top of it. Ooh. So it was like, it was old, old school. Man.
Velvet,
that,
huh?
That, yeah, it was a velvet bench seats.
So were, yeah, you were you a babe magnet driving that thing?
No, absolutely not. Oh, my God. No.
All right, I just had to slide that in there, you know, just... All right, Eric, go ahead real quick because I got to go to a break.
All right, real quick. A couple previous callers ago talked about his house being the unrealized capital gains. He does not have to worry about that with the current tax, even though I disagree with the unrealized tax.
Mm-hmm.
The tax that's being proposed is on income over $100 million. So
right,
if you have a capital unrealized capital gains of $100,000, you ain't got to worry about a thing. Don't worry about it.
Well,
Even though I still disagree with it.
Right, and I agree with you, what you're saying, because I think sometimes people hear a proposal, and we in the middle class, even if you're upper middle class, most of the stuff that's being proposed has to do with multimillionaires and billionaires. It doesn't even affect the people down at our level. And those people at the top, hey, I understand they're paying a lot because they make a lot. But when you make that kind of absurd money, you have more of an obligation to contribute to the common good, don't you think?
I like I said, I disagree with the unrealized capital gains itself.
Right.
Just because it's gains that you never realize.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So you have unrealized capital gains at $100 million. Now you sell your $100 million house, you get taxed again.
Mm-hmm.
On the actual capital gains.
Yeah, it's double tax. No, I got you. All right.
Doesn't make sense.
All right. Thanks very much. All right. Thank you very much. 508-996-0500. Another topic I wanted to toss out there, and that has to do with the schools facing more stringent cell phone rules, okay? Normandin and Roosevelt Middle Schools and local charter Global Learning will be using pouches and lock boxes to enforce cell phone restrictions, but New Bedford High School, which had been considering more drastic measures, will not go forward with their plans to lock away the students' phones in pouches. Instead, the high school will only use the pouches for students who violate the cell phone policy, that is, anyone caught using their phones during the day. So I was hearing Brian Thomas and Ken Pittman debating this, right? And here's an area where I agree with Ken. I disagree with Ken a lot of the times, but I agree with him sometimes too. I actually line up with Ken on that one. I think that you should do that. I think you should put the phones away. Now, the argument that was made on the other side was, well, isn't it up to the teacher to have a lesson plan that keeps their attention? Well, yeah, in theory, but unless you're actually a teacher, which I was not, my wife was, and only in second grade, but I was not. Really, you want the teacher who's teaching how to conjugate a verb or is teaching, you know, English, proper English to be spoken and how to write a sentence and the subject and the predicate and all that? You want that teacher to compete with TikTok? I mean, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. So I think that's the issue, right? You're really asking a lot from the teacher to be able to compete with that. And if you can just stop that distraction, I mean, it would be the equivalent of when television came out and somebody had a little television that they were watching at their desk. Oh, time to watch TV is at home. Time to have your cell phone is at home, not when you're at school. What do you think on that one? 508-996-0500. Paul Santos with Tim Weisberg here at WBSM. I told you I was an old club DJ. Back in the days of Smugglers. Even used to like to hang out at the old Alhambras. Yeah, that's right. That was the kind of music that we used to dance to back in the 80s. My wife and I, man, you couldn't get us off the dance floor. We would dance for 4 hours straight almost. It was just so much fun back in the day. During the early 80s, which I think had some of the best music. Early 80s, that's the music I liked. Okay, we got time to squeeze in a phone call before the news, and we will say good morning. You are next on WBSM.
Hello, Paul.
Hi.
Yeah, hey. My first car was a Ford Cortina.
Ford?
An English Ford. Henry Ford from England. Imported car, 5-speed on the floor. 1967 Ford Cortina. Have you ever heard of those before?
No, I don't think so.
My father, Mr. Goldrick, used to drive one.
Mr. Goldrick, yes. Okay, all right. 1967 Ford Cortina.
Cortina, yeah. It's an English Ford.
So it wasn't...
Nothing.
Yeah, so it's a different Ford. It's not Henry Ford. It's some other Ford, right?
Yes, I don't have any information in front of me on that. But since you were talking about cars, I had to bring that up.
Yeah, so you had, five on the floor. So, yeah, I remember they'd say four on the floor, five on the floor. So, of course, you had the clutch and all that. Yeah, I'm sure you had no air conditioning. You had probably no powered steering. So the cars are so different. They're so comfortable now, you know?
I know, isn't it? You take it for granted, you know.
I had one of the kids complaining because the air conditioner broke. I'm like, air conditioner? You know what we did for air conditioning? You turn the windows down and go on the highway, let the wind blow into the car. You know?
Correct.
All right. Hey, thanks a lot for the call. Nice hearing from you.
Yep.
All right. 508-996-0500. We got a few topics on the agenda. The Democratic National Convention coming to an end. I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the things that local moderate Democrats have done that I think the conservatives might agree with. Ah, yes, some common ground. That can happen here and there. Okay, I believe it is time for the news, if I'm not mistaken. So let's turn it over to Phil Devitt in the WBSM newsroom.
Kamala Harris goes after Trump in her acceptance speech at the DNC. A possible major railroad shutdown. And the second largest diamond ever found.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Vice President Kamala Harris has officially accepted her party's nomination for president. Harris took to the stage Thursday night at the Democratic National Convention in Chicago, touching on a wide variety of topics, formally accepting the nomination.
The path that led me here in recent weeks was no doubt unexpected. But I'm no stranger to unlikely journeys.
Leaning heavily into her background as a district attorney and attorney general, Harris said she was used to being underestimated, but that the future is always worth fighting for. She also attacked Trump on taxes and both Trump and J.D. Vance on abortion, suggesting a second Trump term would be filled with chaos. Trump reacting to the speech.
She's not having success. I'm having success. I'm doing great with the Hispanic voters. I'm doing great with black men. I'm doing great with women because women want safety. They want safety.
On Truth Social, Trump posted in real time during the speech, questioning why Harris hadn't already accomplished policies she was promising. He said she's had 3.5 years and has done nothing but harm. After switching from Democratic candidate to independent candidate, it appears Robert F. Kennedy Jr. will soon be former candidate. Kennedy filed to have his name removed from the Arizona ballot on Thursday and is expected to announce today in Phoenix that he's ending his campaign. There's speculation that Kennedy will be the publicized special guest at Trump's rally today in Glendale, Arizona, after the former president said he'd consider giving RFK Jr. a role in his administration if he were to quit the race and endorse Trump. The Canadian Minister of Labor and the U.S. Acting Labor Secretary are having discussions about a possible railroad shutdown north of the border. Railway companies Canadian National and Canadian Pacific Kansas City locked out about 10,000 Teamsters employees after in-labor contract negotiations broke down. The two labor chiefs are concerned about the potential impact on both the U.S. and Canadian economies. COVID might not be a pandemic, but it remains a significant health risk, and the vaccine is one of the ways to be protected. That from the CEO of Moderna, as the FDA approved this season's updated Moderna and Pfizer COVID-19 vaccines. The exact date the new vaccine will be available has not been announced. And the second largest diamond ever found was dug up this week in Botswana. The 2,492-carat stone was pulled out of the Karoway mine by Canadian company Lucara Diamond. Its size would make it the second largest diamond found behind the 3,106-carat Cullinan diamond discovered in South Africa in 1905.
WBSM Sports.
Red Sox start a seven-game homestand tonight, looking for their third win in a row when they host the Arizona Diamondbacks at Fenway. And Patriots wrap the preseason Sunday night when they visit the Washington Commanders. The game starts at 8, and we'll carry it for you live right here on WBSM.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Happy Friday, everybody. Wrapping up the work week with absolutely gorgeous weather out there. Not as chilly as yesterday morning, but temperatures around 60 under mostly sunny skies throughout the day. This afternoon, temperatures climbing to the upper 70s. Mostly clear overnight, 60, upper 70s as we head into Saturday, Sunday. Sunday, the humidity increases to give way to chance for showers. On Monday, from the UBC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Cecil Del Carmen on New Bedford News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
This WBSM news update brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station WBSM and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Band Boston here at WBSM. You know, the different bands that I've listened to over the years growing up, I always tended to like a song that was not the most popular. Like, that was my favorite, Peace of Mind, out of all the great songs that Boston had back in the 70s. So I definitely like the dance music. I like the Tavares, Casey and the Sunshine Band, Michael Jackson, all that kind of dance stuff. But I also liked some of the rock, Aerosmith, some of the Led Zeppelin, some of the Boston stuff that you heard right there. So there was some great music back there in the 70s growing up. And there's some great music now, too. But you know what it is? When you get older and you hear that music, it reminds you of a time when you were younger, when you were in high school, when you were maybe just starting to date your wife, or, you know, times that you think, wow, that was so much fun being young. And, you know, it's still nice being here in my early 60s. That's all fine and good. But when you play that music, it definitely takes you back to other times in your life. Okay, let's go back to the phones. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hi, Paul.
Hi. How are you?
You mentioned a nice light subject, first cars.
Yes.
Day after I got my license at 16 and a half, I bought a 1966 Mercury Comet.
Wow.
Had three speed on the column, and it was four different colors, and I paid $150 for it. And it lasted me 2 years of high school. And on the coldest mornings of the winter, every car on the street wouldn't stop. That thing always started, and it always got me where I was going.
I love
it. Finally, I finally got rid of it when I joined the service. But
I like that three on the column.
It was
because
only 10 years old when I bought it, but it was almost all rusted out. Different things.
Well, a really good friend of mine had a Plymouth Valiant, and he also had the three on the column, you know, which you don't see too much, you know.
Right.
Oh, all right. Well, thank you very much for the call.
You don't see that anymore.
I'll put it on the list. Thanks a lot.
All right.
All right. Thank you very much for that call. I'm glad to hear that the light subject has taken some traction. We like to do those light subjects once in a while. What was the first car that you drove? You know, my dad bought a Chrysler Newport in 1977. I got my driver's license. And he had this 1968 Buick Wildcat. This thing was a tank. And in fact, I drove it through the blizzard of 78. And it was just a little bit, one step down from the Buick Electra, but it was huge. I mean, remember the Buick Electra 225? Well, the Buick Wildcat, pretty much the same thing, and it got 7 miles to the gallon. Now, we've heard Pontiac Catalina, Datsun, 1947 Studebaker, which is the oldest one, 1985 Buick Riviera, what a car that was. 1967 Ford Cortina with the five on the floor. We had a 1966 Mercury Comet, three on the column. So, I mean, these cars, when you think about how comfortable our cars are now compared to the cars back then, I mean, it is like night and day. Another subject I wanted to bring up, the cell phones. I'm in favor of the teachers and the schools, Normandin and Roosevelt, saying, you know what, you got to leave the cell phones in the front of the class. Now, you can argue, like Brian Thomas, who's coming in today for Chris, by the way, that, you know, maybe the teacher could come up with a better presentation that would be so exciting and so interesting that the kid would not want to look at the phone. Well, that's challenging when right in your hand you've got every video and every exciting thing that was ever made since the beginning of time on YouTube, and you've got TikTok, and you've got stuff that goes so fast and it's so entertaining. How do you compete with that when you're teaching English? So I am definitely in favor of it. If the teachers are saying you should do it, I think we should listen to the teachers, listen to the experts. I always say, you know, people talk about the courts, and a lot of times I hear people talking about the courts, and I'm like, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. Well, because he hasn't been in the courts, right? I don't tell plumbers how to do plumbing. I don't tell construction people how to do construction. You know, I tend to defer to their expertise. Now, there may be times I disagree with them when I have all the facts in front of me, but generally speaking, I'm going to defer to somebody who is an expert in that particular field, or at least listen to them. But anyway, what is on your mind? Any of these subjects that we've talked about so far, or something different? 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hi, Paul. Nice to hear you on.
Yes, thank you very much.
Yeah, you always are so upbeat. So I was thinking about my first car, and then I remembered, well, my first car was Monte Carlo. I loved that car so much.
A Monte Carlo.
But then I was thinking about my brothers. One of my brothers joined the Navy, and he had this Fiat in the front yard, and his dream was to fix it and whatnot. I used to get in that car and pretend I was driving it. So I had to have been pretty young to pretend I'm driving, right? 11, 10, whatnot.
What year was the Monte Carlo?
What did I have? Yeah, I think I was a 80.
1980?
No, a little older than that. I think I was like it was probably an 88, maybe a 90.
Wow.
Yeah, but I loved it, and it had the cloth roof. I could be wrong about the year. I mean, pretending I was driving that Fiat was the best thing for me, and the steering wheel was on the passenger side. And then, like, a real car, it was kind of like a boyfriend decision. It was a Baritz, and I hated it, a Baritz Cadillac.
Oh, a Cadillac. Those Cadillacs, yeah, boy, they were huge. I mean, a friend of mine had the Eldorado. Oh, my God, what a tank that thing was.
Oh, I know. My friend had one, too. Oh, my. And then, the long Cadillacs, too. Oh, that was crazy. But the Baritz, that was just a heavy tank.
I don't remember that Cadillac. What did you say? Baritz?
Baritz, yeah.
Gee, I don't remember that one.
Yeah, it was kind of classy. Yeah. But my Monte Carlo was straight out my choice, my car. And the roof, the back of the roof was cloth. And it was just tearing apart. But, you know, back then, I wasn't, thinking about that. I just loved the engine. I just loved that car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you always kind of love that first car looking back at it, right? Even though it's much inferior.
I couldn't even let it go. I mean, it was so sad. I still dream of that car. I loved it so much.
Hey, thanks for the call. I have to move on. Unfortunately, in the morning, we got to move a little bit quicker. But thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. You're welcome.
All right. Paul Santos in for Tim Weisberg here at 1420 WBSM, 99.5 FN. Give me a call here at the radio station, 508-996-0500. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome to your Friday. Paul Santos in for Tim Weisberg here at WBSM. The Patriots will be wrapping up the preseason this Sunday night right here on WBSM. Who will make the final cut? Who's going to be the starting quarterback? Is it going to be Brissett? Is it going to be Drake May? Things will become a lot clearer after the Patriots visit the Commanders in Washington Sunday night. Kickoff is at 8 p.m. The pregame begins at 5 p.m. Listen to the preseason finale and then the entire 2024 season right here on 1420 AM and 99.5 FM WBSM. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Oh, hey, Paul. Hey,
hi.
Are you keeping up on the flooding that's going on in China right now?
No.
Well, that's pretty incredible. You know, they have the world's largest dam. It's called the Three Gorges Dam. Mm-hmm. And the thing is so massive that it's created its own weather patterns. It's as if somebody created one of the Great Lakes just by building a dam.
Wow. I know we had some flooding here in Connecticut during that last storm. That can be really tough, those flash floods.
Oh, yeah. Well, what's bad about China is that they've been having these, because there's so much water that's backed up into this massive lake, it creates the evaporation is creating storms. Mm-hmm. And then those storms are blowing further upstream. And a week or so ago, I think there were 30-something dams that had to do emergency releases. And those emergency releases flood out the towns below them. And then all of this flooding down below is filling up that Three Gorges Dam even faster. And so they have to do emergency releases, which floods. It's pretty incredible.
See, I'll have to look that up. It sounds awful.
Oh, it is. Yeah. And they just, the city of Shanghai is going through, I saw on YouTube, it's just 14 hours ago. Mm-hmm. But what I'm leading up to is that, you know, we've got our power supplies all, you know, putting all our eggs in one basket. One coal-fired plant, one nuclear power plant, one gas-fired plant here and there. The idea of putting solar panels or windmills or spreading the energy production all around the region protects it from disasters like that. Mm-hmm. That if one section goes down, you at least have backup coming from other sources.
Right, that's a good point. And I think that's an area where really all of us have to get on the same page. Again, we're all on the same side here. We can have some different ideological views, but in the end, we all want to be safe. We all want to make sure the power grid is working. We want to make sure that we're getting protection from our authorities, our government, and so forth. So those things are things that really should be bipartisan.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. All right, I got to let you go because I'm up against the break. I'm sorry. I really appreciate the call, though. Thank you very much.
No trouble.
All right. 508-996-0500. Stand on the line, if you will. I'll pick you up in just a moment. It's Paul for Tim here at WBSM. And I've lost my line, for I toss and turn, I can't sleep at night. Once I ran to you, now I'll run from you. This tainted love you've given, I give you all. There's another one of my favorites from back in the day. Oh, tainted love. Touch me, baby, tainted love. Touch me, baby, tainted love. That's right, Soft Cell and Tainted Love here at 1420 WBSM. Let's get a call in before the top of the hour news, and let's say good morning. You are on WBSM.
Good morning.
Hi.
Yeah, you're talking about first cars?
Yes.
Well, I don't know if you remember the era between 58 and 61 when the automakers in Detroit were all trying to compete who could make the most outlandish fins on the back of a car.
Oh, yes, I remember all those fins.
Yeah, and I think it started out with the 57 Chevy, which was a big hit at the box office there, mm-hmm. and the others followed suit. They tend to imitate each other anyway when there's a success in the business, but I had a 1960 Plymouth Fury. That was my first car.
Oh.
I was using that to commute to Bridgewater State College, and it had a big V8 engine, and the fins in the rear of that car, if you look at the dorsal fin of a shark when it's swimming in the water, sticking up, yeah. The fin was something like that, with the three taillights mounted within the fin. Mm-hmm. One of the weirdest looking things I've ever seen. Now that I recollect it, it's probably one of the weirdest looking things on a car that I can remember. But I'll tell you one thing. I took that out on Route 18, there was no cars in sight one morning. I was on my way to Bridgewater. And there's a straightaway there that goes for about 2 miles where there's perfectly flat, and it's like perfectly straight road. And I said, let me see what this thing can do. There were no cars in sight. And it had a big V8 engine in it.
Let's see what this baby can do.
Yeah, I got it up to 82, and then I got scared because I'm not a big speed guy.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't. I know it could have gone faster.
Of course.
Because those cars had big engines in them, you know.
Yeah, well, that 68 Buick Wildcat, it had a 455 of the size of the engine, you know.
And
yeah, the
thing
was
a tank.
To
the gallon, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did. I got seven. One time I figured it out. I got 7.5 miles to the gallon. Now, I was, you know, I'd step on the gas pretty good at the red lights and stuff. But still, I mean, 7.5 miles to the gallon. Are you kidding me?
We used to call those, the ones with the gear shift on the steering column, three on a tree.
Three on the tree. Oh, I didn't know that. Oh.
Yeah, that's what that used to be referred to. And I remember my father had one of those 52 Chevy. And it was, a lot of cars in that time, in the early 50s, had the three on the tree. That's
three
what they called
tree.
It.
Yeah, you know, you talked about the fins, right? Some of the Cadillacs had those fins back then, right?
Oh, yeah. They were outlandish.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, this one wasn't a big fin on my Plymouth. But it was an outlandish-looking fin. It was like shaped, like I say, like a shark's dorsal fin, you know, sticking straight up.
After I get off the air, I'm going to cue one up on my phone and take a look at it, because I haven't looked at those in a while. How about the big ornaments that used to be on the hoods? You don't see that anymore too much.
No, as a matter of fact, those are collector's items now. If you can find one, somebody's selling one, they're kind of valuable, you know, amongst collectors, because some of them were quite ornate, you know.
Sometimes people would snap them off. They would snap them off, and then there'd be that space there. I remember one time that happened to one of my cars. Somebody snapped it off, and I wanted to get another one. I couldn't stand driving down the road without seeing it on my hood, you know, because I got used to it.
Well, you know, back in the day, the junkyards used to be full of, you could go into a junkyard. I know there was one in Dartmouth here, Silby's Junkyard. I used to go down there and get parts. My father used to go down there and get parts for his Chevy, and you can find all kinds of stuff like that in there, you know?
All right. Hey, thanks a lot for the call. That was a good one.
Yeah, bye now.
All right, 508-996-0500. You know, from speaking to the other hosts here at WBSM, because I'm a fill-in guy, as you know. I'm the arm that's warming up in the bullpen. I've spoken to a lot of these other hosts, and I will say to them, gee, you know, a lot of times I come here with five, six, seven different topics, and I'm pretty sure that this topic is going to get a lot of traction, or that topic is going to get a lot of traction. And then a lot of times the topic that you don't think is going to get the traction, that's the one that gets the traction, right? So I didn't think a lot of people were going to want to talk about their first car. But, you know, there is something about that first car when you think back about, oh, yeah, the first car that I ever drove was X. It's just nostalgia. It's just something that stays with you. It's kind of like the first girlfriend or the first anything, your first kiss, anything that you did for the first time. We'll leave it at that. But anything you did for the first time, you kind of remember it, and you have a certain nostalgia for it. So when I come back, I'm going to go down the list. Actually, I got a moment to do that. So we got my 1968 Buick Wildcat. We got a Pontiac Catalina, a Datsun, a 47 Studebaker, an 85 Buick Riviera, a 67 Ford Cortina, which was an English Ford, a 1966 Mercury Comet, three on the column, or as that last caller said, three on the tree, 1988 Monte Carlo, a Fiat, a Cadillac Eldorado, a Cadillac Biritz, a 1960 Plymouth Fury V8 with the big fins. So what was your first car? And then we come back. I'm going to toss something else out there. I was mentioning about the cell phones. I guess that was already discussed earlier, whether or not they should not have the cell phones in school. I think people have had different opinions. I want to talk about how in politics, whoever is there when something happens gets blamed for whatever happens. So if Mr. A is in office and something happens, it's Mr. A's fault. If Mr. B is in office, it's Mr. B's fault. And a lot of times, my view is it didn't have anything to do with who happened to be there. Now, people will say, yeah, well, it's the policies and all that. Yeah, but, you know, you have to go back past the last year or 2 years. You have to go back 40 or 50 years to make your case, right? So if you look at the last 50 years, whether there was a Democrat there, whether there was a Republican there, whether there was a conservative there, whether there was a liberal there, sometimes good things happen and sometimes bad things happen.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.